What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed and to part two of Lies My Therapist Told Me. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford. I am your host, and today we are addressing the second lie that the secular therapeutic is telling us. Are you ready for it? You ready for it? The first episode, I talked about this idea that the secular therapeutic is actually practicing objective medicine. The second lie is that the mind needs to be quote-unquote healthy. You see it everywhere. Mental health holidays. There's a month now, which is the month of May, dedicated to mental health in America. The second lie is that your mind needs to be healthy, but have you ever just picked at that for a second and thought, are medical terms like healthy and unhealthy or sick or illness or disorder, are those really the best descriptors of what your mind needs? And in fact, I would encourage you at some point to go to fortisinstitute.org/lies. And you're going to see in this forthcoming book that I've gone through the world's perspective of self-care. You should read it. Self-care. You need to exercise more. It's like, oh, thanks. Now I feel guilty. You need to drink cucumber water. You need to stretch. Maybe go on a vacation. Sleep more. This is how we promote this mental health, these shallow symptom-based treatments. The lie is that your mind needs to be healthy, but you need to pick at that concept and say, I'm not sure that's really the best way to describe what my mind needs. What does my natural mind need? Does it need health? Do I just simply need 8 hours of sleep with some cucumber water? Seriously, is that what I need? Or do I need something more than that? I want to paint a picture, and this is going to come from a chapter in the book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, of what your mind is like before salvation. Now, remember, the mind is not the brain. We know that. Everyone knows that. If you read your Bible at all, you have to differentiate Romans 12:2, that the mind is not the brain. The mind is the inner person faculty. It's the seat of cognition. It's immaterial. You can't touch it. It is represented as being the center of cognition, but it's also connected to your intentions, your imagination. It's much like an attitude or disposition. That's your mind. So Romans 12:2, we know that the mind is not the brain. And what is the mind like in its natural state? What does it look like? This is going to help set the stage for, does it need health or does it need something else? Well, according to the scripture, your mind is described in the Bible before salvation as being blind in 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the gospel, the glory of Christ Jesus, who is the image of God. You and I, before we were saved, we were blind. And you may say, no, I wasn't blind. It's like, no, but you were blind to the glory of Christ. Yeah, you could physically see, but you didn't understand the world through the lens of God's eyes, through the glory of Jesus Christ. You were blind. You were deprived of sight. You were blind. 2 Timothy 3:8, there are false teachers that have a corrupted mind. Their mind is corrupted. It's ruined, 2 Timothy 3:8. Or Ephesians 4:18, you're darkened before salvation. You're not like dim. You're not like mostly there. There's not like a light bulb off, but you're darkened. It's dark. Your mind is dark, having to do with ignorance due to the hardness of heart, Ephesians 4. Are you guys feeling discouraged yet? And you're like, man, why am I listening to this transformed guy? What a loser. Hey, you may be right on that, but let me give you a couple of more biblical descriptors And then I'm going to turn the corner to hope. Like, what does your mind really need? But you have to feel the weight of your natural mind apart from Christ. It's darkened. It's deceitful. Your heart is said to be deceitful. And that term heart and mind are used interchangeably in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 17, 9. It's sly. It's difficult. One of the dangers of your heart is it's in its natural state deceitful, and sin is deceitful, Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. So you're having to say, man, it's like a double whammy. My heart is deceitful. Sin is deceitful. What do? I do my best to depend on the word of God and others to keep me grounded in the word of God. Your heart's deceitful. I'm going to keep going. Don't stop listening. Wow, wow. Okay, depraved. Your heart is depraved. Apart from Christ, Romans 1, 28, 1 Timothy 6, 5, your heart, your mind is morally corrupt. God gives individuals who are practicing sexual sin over to a depraved mind, Romans 1, 28. That's exactly the term. Nous is the term, and it means to become morally corrupted, depraved, or ruined. You're defiled. Your mind is defiled. Titus chapter 1, verse 15, that you have a corrupt conscience, a defiled conscience, and a defiled mind. There's this lack of purity. It's violated by immoral behavior. It's defiled. It's an impure mind. It's futile, Ephesians 4, 17. It's the state of being valueless, empty, purposeless, transitory. It's futile. Your mind is futile. It's hardened. Consider Exodus 7:14 when talking about the inner person of Pharaoh. It's dull and unresponsive. It's hardened. The only time, listeners, the only time, and I would encourage you, check out the book. This is the chapter on the role of salvation and the mind. You need more than mental health. The only time that any type of medical language is referencing the mind, are you ready for it? Jeremiah 17, 9. It's talking about the heart, the leb, this inner person, and it is sick. It's sick, Jeremiah 17, 9. That's the only time you're going to see sickness equated to the mind. That's not that it has a cough. That's not it. I got the black lung, pa. No, this isn't a medical sickness. This is a spiritual sickness. And when we talk about spiritual sickness, that's sin. In all fairness, that's sin. So feel the weight of this for a second. You're like, I feel it already, Dr. Gifford. Feel the weight. Your mind in its natural state is blind, corrupted, darkened, deceitful, depraved, defiled, futile, hardened, and sick. That's the way the Bible describes your mind apart from Christ. The secular therapeutic says your mind needs to be healthy. But let's just think this through. What can this sick, futile, hardened, depraved, deceitful, corrupted mind actually be? What can it actually be? Those things, sick, busted, deceived, broken, that's what it can actually be. Your mind, unlike what the secular therapeutic culture is telling us, your mind does not need health. Karate chop that term. Waka! Back up, kale chips, leave my mind alone. Almost got me. Your mind doesn't need health. What am I about to say? Are you hanging onto the edge of your car? Oh, don't say it. Your mind doesn't need health. It needs transformation. Your mind needs transformation. Do you really believe the truth of the scripture about your natural mind, what it was apart from Christ? Do you really believe that you were Romans 1:28? Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. That God gives up individuals, that your mind before you were in Christ was veiled to the glory, the gospel of the glory of Christ, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. The God of this world, who is Satan, blinded your mind before you were a Christian. Do you believe that? Because if you believe that, then health is too small. It's not even the proper, we're using medical terminology to talk about an immaterial component of who we are. That's not even the right way to talk about it. It's like saying that I have a mind bruise. I have a cut on my mind. You would never say my mind is bleeding. You would never say I have a cut on my mind. You would never say my mind is bruised. You're confusing the brain and the mind once again. But when you understand the mind biblically, the mind doesn't need physical remedies. The mind needs spiritual remedies, which comes through the Holy Spirit. He is the agent of regeneration. He's the one that actually makes your mind alive again. You don't need treatment for your mind. You need transformation for your mind. If you think you need treatment, your understanding of your own depravity is too small. There is no yoga stretch that's going to heal the debased mind. I can promise you that. There's no cucumber water. There's no amount of sleep that's going to heal the debased mind. What do you need? You need transformation, not treatment. So let's do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to explain to you what does the term regeneration mean and how does it affect your mind. We'll be right back.
All right, we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. And hey, look, if your mind has ever felt broken or burdened or just exhausted, I think this is the episode you need to be listening to. Dr. Gifford's showing us from Scripture that we don't just need a little self-care, we need spiritual resurrection. The real issue is not that we're tired. It's that apart from Christ, we're blind, we're depraved, we're hardened. The answer the world gives us, drink more cucumber water. Look, if you're ready to go deeper than the self-help slogans and get serious about anxiety and pressure from a biblical worldview, let me recommend Stressed Out. It's a book written by Todd Friel, and it offers clarity, not cliches. It directly looks at the stress and the emotional issues that we face, the mental chaos that sometimes kind of can take over our lives, and it applies Scripture with care and compassion. I mean, if your mind feels like it's a battlefield, I want you to pick up Stressed Out. It's available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Now, if you've been listening to Transformed for a while and you're looking for the kind of education that builds your theology and your character, I want to point you in the direction of the Master's University. At TMU, students are trained to think biblically about absolutely everything, including psychology and counseling, the nature of the human heart. I mean, there's a reason that they've been ranked number 6 in the nation by the Wall Street Journal for career readiness and preparation. TMU is a place where truth is not compromised. Visit masters.edu/transform. Right now to learn more. Hey, and if you haven't downloaded the Fortis Plus app yet, you're missing daily teaching just like this in this episode. It's 100% free and every day brings new content from voices like Dr. Gifford, Todd Friel, Dr. Adam Tyson, Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, and others. These guys, our fellows, are committed to equipping you with biblical truth for everyday life. So Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org or search Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps. Hey, Fortis Institute, we've spent over 25 years standing on the sufficiency of Scripture. And if you've been strengthened over the years by this ministry, I want you to pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can get all of the answers to what that might look like in your life right now at fortisinstitute.org. And as always, make sure that you're already giving first to your local church. That is priority number one in the life of a Christian. But all the questions that you might have about what it would look like can be answered right now at fortisinstitute.org. And now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, Jimmy, thank you, sir. Thank you for the resources. You got to go to Fortis Plus if you haven't done so already. Check out fortisinstitute.org. Also, check out my forthcoming book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. This is the second episode where we've been talking through concepts from the book. FortisInstitute.org/lies. Or you can just simply Google it, whatever comes easier for you. The last segment, I said there is another lie that we have to address, which is that the secular therapeutic says our mind needs to be healthy. And then on the the outset, it's like, of course it needs to be healthy. Like, who's arguing that your mind needs to be unhealthy? Doesn't that just seem like common sense? But when you begin to peel back the layers of what's going on here, you say, well, hey, pop the hood. Let's talk about what health really means. Then you're going to have self-care. You're going to have treatment plans. You're going to have psychotropics. You're going to have stretching, cucumber water, yoga. In that, you're having to ask, is that really an accurate way of describing what the blind, corrupted, depraved, sick, futile mind actually needs? Is that really the best way to describe it? At the end of last segment, I said, guys, that's not what your mind needs. Your mind doesn't need some type of health treatment, like a day away at a spa. Although I wouldn't mind my brain having a day away at a spa. Hello. I've never been to a spa. It might be actually kind of weird. So maybe I take that back. I'm not sure. When we talk about what your mind actually needs, I said, your mind doesn't need treatment. Your mind needs transformation. That's it. That's what your mind needs. Your mind doesn't need coping mechanisms and self-care. Your mind needs to be rehabilitated. Did you know that the term regeneration means that this is the work of the Holy Spirit creating new life in a sinful person? Oftentimes we'll talk about being dead in your sin, Ephesians 2. Who were you, Ephesians chapter 2? You were dead in your sins and trespasses. That's your former identity. That's not who you are now if you're a follower of Christ, Ephesians 1, but that is who you were. And understanding that past identity informs your present self-conceptualization in life. So verse 10 of Ephesians 2, you are a workmanship that's intended for good works. You're zealous for them. And I do think that the church at Ephesus was a demonstration of being zealous for good works. I mean, just think of this massive revival in the city that ends in them burning all of these dark magic, these like practices of necromancy and weird stuff. They burned all of that stuff for this massive amount of money that was gone. They were so serious about good works that the silversmiths making the idols actually started a riot to prevent this because their livelihood is at stake. Yeah, I think those in Ephesus really did take Paul's command seriously to produce good works. But what was your identity dead in sin? You were dead. Dead. Not like asleep dead, not like taking a nap and drooling dead, but you were dead, stone cold dead. Dane Ortlund says in Gentle and Lowly, you were at the bottom of the ocean, stone cold dead before you were saved. You didn't just swallow some water and pass out for a second. Like, think of the significance of deadness that the Bible describes. That is who you were. And what happens at the moment of salvation is the Holy Spirit makes you alive through regeneration. So let me read for you Titus chapter 3. If you have your scripture, I would encourage you to open up to Titus as well. This is the term regeneration that's used here. Verse 4, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. There it is. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Who does that work in our life? God, the Spirit, does that work in our life. That's regeneration, making you alive again. Now, many of us aren't old enough to remember the Billy Graham Crusades. I know I have mixed feelings about them. Oftentimes it promoted an easy believism, you know, walk this aisle, dear brother and sister, and pray this prayer after me. That was my Billy Graham impression. I think there was some benefit in that just because the gospel was going forward and a call to faith in Christ was going forward. In fact, one of our former faculty here at the school, Dennis Hutchison, he was saved at one of those crusades. So I know that they can bear fruit. And he was really big on this concept of being born again. Being born again, that you would be made alive. And that concept comes from John 3, where Nicodemus is trying to figure out, like, how do I enter into the kingdom of God? And Jesus is going to tell him, John chapter 3, verse 3, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. There it is. You have to be born of the Spirit. In your own theology, listener, I hope that you have this acumen to say that regeneration means being born again. You're made alive by God the Spirit. Made alive. You were dead. What was your mind? Go back to that list I mentioned in the last segment. Your mind was blind, corrupted, darkened, deceitful, depraved, defiled, futile, hardened, sick. What was your mind? It wasn't pretty. Your mind wasn't cute. Your mind didn't need like this wax job and a coat of paint. Well, she's all there. She just needs to be buffed out. That's not the way your mind was. Your mind was sick, depraved. Your mind didn't need treatment. Your mind needed transformation. And what does God the Spirit do at the moment of salvation? What does He do? He actually recapacitates your mind. He capacitates your mind. He gives you the mind that God designed you to have. Some of you think of it like, well, I was mostly good, needed a coat of paint, and the Holy Spirit really finished the project. No. That's not the way the Bible describes you. Go back, read this chapter in my book. Go back and read through this. What were you like before you were saved? All of those descriptors, the only way for that to be fixed is not through self-care. It's not through the secular therapeutic. It's not through mental health. It's through mind transformation. Unless you're born of the Spirit, it ain't gonna happen. 2 Corinthians 3:18 it's probably my favorite verse. In fact, I have this book project that's just looming now in my own mind of how I want to connect this dots to the transformed mind. How is the mind transformed in 2 Corinthians 3:18? It's transformed by beholding the glory of God. And how does that happen in verse 17? God the Spirit brings freedom to see the glory of God. That's how it happens. That's regeneration. The work of the Holy Spirit in salvation is not washing an otherwise operational vehicle. I was up in Spokane, Washington, talking about this topic. By the way, what's up, Tyler? Hope you're doing well. I was in Spokane and I shared with a group up there and I said, you know, I'm kind of a car guy and I love the concept of a barn find. You guys know what a barn find is? It's where this little old lady has a 1966 GTO that's been in her garage for years. She doesn't know what it is and she just needs to sell it. Oh, yes, Lord. Bring it, I pray. By the way, the 66 GTO, that's like my dream car. When the kids move out, I'm going to find a GTO somewhere. That's the game plan. Some of us dream about that barn find. We pull it out of the garage. It's all there. We change the oil, wash it, vacuum it out, and boom, we have this beautiful car. When you think about your mind before salvation, don't think like mostly there needs to be washed, but your mind isn't. Like, I want you to think total restoration, frame off restoration for you car guys and gals out there, frame off. Like everything needs to be redone about this. Our mind was broken, distorted, and abandoned in the woods. What does the Holy Spirit have to do? He has to take that and make it alive. Otherwise, what's happening is now I still have this darkened, depraved, deceitful mind without the washing of regeneration. We have to be discerning and skeptical. The Bible has better answers than the secular therapeutic. The secular therapeutic is promoting this lie that your mind needs to be healthy. Listeners, your mind doesn't need to be healthy. Let's not use medical terminology to describe what your mind needs. What does your mind need? Your mind needs transformation, fundamentally. When you talk with someone who's not saved, they've lived a life of sin for 50 years, and you talk with that person, I don't want you to go, man, there's something off. There's a chemical imbalance in there. When you say that, you're falling into this trap of the secular therapeutic. I want you to see that that is what the unchecked, hardened mind looks like. They don't get it. There are no spiritual lights on. They are living by their own sin. And even on their fourth divorce, they don't see that they are part of this problem. You're not understanding the depth of the depravity if you're just saying you need health. You're not understanding it. You're not understanding the Bible and the way the Bible describes the mind. Your mind doesn't need to be healthy. Your mind needs to be transformed. We have to promote this right understanding. That's what we're going to clarify in this forthcoming book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. Your mind doesn't need health, it needs transformation. So let me pray for us and we'll be done for today. Lord, we are thankful that you give us transformation through your word. We're thankful that you don't abandon us in our own depravity. Lord, I pray that episodes like these would help us depend more on your word and the work of your spirit to form us into those individuals that genuinely live out the mind of your son, Jesus. That we can say not only do we have the mind of Jesus, but we are putting on his thoughts. We are trying to replicate them, Philippians 2. Help us to do that well for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.